Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
God we serve.
Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that all power in heaven and in earth is still and always will be in your hands. So now, Lord, we come asking in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, being a mother and Coxon and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of the glory. So that's why we're so grateful on tonight for your son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, that we can come through him and ask to be forgiven of our sins, and that we can continue to move forward in fulfilling our God purposes in the earth for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And before we come now and lift up all those that have breathed on tonight, I continue to lift up my brother in Christ, Pastor Eric Morpheus, his sister Beverly, and the entire Morpheus family, and the homegoing of their mother, Sister Ruby Morpheus, on the 1st of February, and also for the family of Dad Franklin, the late Reverend Eddie Franklin's father, made his home transition. His homegoing children was also on Monday. So we lifted up my sister in Christ, Pat Franklin, and that entire family, and all those that have believed on tonight all over the land, those that have lost loved ones due to the coronavirus, or for whatever reason, we know that you are still our comforter, our healer, our strength, our peace, and our joy, even in the midst of sorrow. So continue to comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Heavenly Father, let them feel your peace and your presence. Let them know that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal, in the name of Jesus. We come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver. Heavenly Father, as only you can, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray now, Lord, that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will be glorified. And it's our prayer, hope, and desire on tonight, Lord, that through your man of God, Deacon Martin Cox, and through your Holy Spirit, that your work will go forth with power. Should there be any listeners on the line tonight or over the network through social media that's not saved in Jesus' name, that's still spiritually blind, it's our hope and our desire and prayer that something will be said that will touch their hearts on tonight, that they will open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask to be saved in his name. And let the believer come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their own individual God's purpose in earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we continue to lift up all those that are faithful listeners on tonight. Bless those that are new listeners on tonight that have tuned in. Continue to bless each one of them and bless them with the desires of their hearts is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right now, we've got to go to our spiritual food for thought. We always have a spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, it is better to obey God rather than to serve man. Once again, spiritual food for thought for tonight. It is better to obey God rather than to serve man. And the reason I say that in that form, because we are to be our brother's keeper, our brother's and sister's keeper. Yes, that is true according to God's word. But sometimes when we are doing that, we can get so off track and we can put man before God. So that's why I said that in that form and in that text. It is better to obey God rather than to serve man. So we're going to ask all listeners on tonight. I pray that, again, you have your Bible and your pens and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Melvin Cox. But before we go to our music break, I am so excited to announce that God has blessed my younger sister, Janetta Burney, as I have been giving out her website for her book, The Little Guide at the Gate, and her other children's book, The Best of Joy. And I've been giving that website out to you that you can order her book through Amazon.com. And her t-shirts, she has a variety of t-shirts with The Little Guide at the Gate picture on the t-shirts for the little girls and the little boys. But now her website is officially up. If you can go to her website, and you can order The Leader's Guard at the Gate. You can order The Leader's Guard at the Gate coloring book, The Leader's Guard at the Gate puzzle, The Leader's Guard at the Gate pillow that the younger children love to carry around in their cars as they're going on long trips. They have to carry the Leader's Guard at the Gate pillow with them. And then she has a variety of t-shirts and other items in her little kit that you can purchase through her website. If you have a pen, you might want to write this down. If you have children, little small children, if you're teachers, and you have little children that you're teaching, grandparents, this is the website you want to go to. And you even have a little song that you will hear, the little song that's included. when you go to the website, and it's www.josh, josh.com. Once again, my younger sister, Janetta Bunny's official website is now up and running, and you can go to her website and order all these items for your children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews. The website is www.josh, or lowercase josh, J-O-S-H, theguard.com. So we're going to go to our music break right now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. And before we do the music break for the new listeners on tonight, I love sharing this testimony about Deacon Marvin Cox, as he has shared it himself, because so many Christians are using excuses not to do what God has called them to do. Deacon Marvin Cox is one of those that has a physical disability, and he can use that disability not to fulfill his God's purpose, but he is still allowing God to use him. So I have disabilities myself, and I can use those as an excuse not to do what God has called me to do. And I'm sure that some of you listeners may have disabilities too, but God is not going to accept any of our excuses talking about disabilities that we have had, because we know that he still works through us through our disabilities, and it's all done by faith. So that's why I'm always so excited when Deacon Marvin Cox comes on the air to share his inspirational poem, and then we always share a powerful word. So we're going to receive him right after this music break. Please enjoy the music break. That's the wrong version. I want to do the song version. Here we go.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Need a prayer. Come on, open your mouth, everybody, and say pray.
praise the Lord. I love that song. Pray for me. The word of the Lord has the fervent prayers of the righteous as well as much. So that's why it's so important that the body of Christ, our sisters and brothers, that we keep one another lifted up in prayer. Before we bring on Deacon Marvin Cox, I want the listeners to be reminded of that all of these shows are kept in archives. All shows are kept in archives. If you missed a show, you can always go back to my website and pull up the dates and you can see who my guest was and the title of the message or whenever if it was an author that you missed the interview. You can always go back to my website and pull up these shows and listen to them and be blessed by them. And the reason I'm saying that is 2 weeks ago, I had a young lady from Alabama named Takesha L. Stevenson. She is the author of the book titled Conviction to Correction, Behind the Walls. She's so true to have been in prison. And she wrote a book, and she was on my show 2 Saturdays ago, and her book was so deep, I had to have her back on last Saturday to do part two. And her book is available through Amazon.com. So if you missed that interview, those 2 interviews with her, you definitely want to go back to the website and hear how the Lord has blessed her and how the Lord has used her while she was even incarcerated behind prison bars. And now she's been a blessing to others. And also, I'd like to give a shout-out real quick to my bishop and pastor, Bishop James A. Jennings, pastor of the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, and also my church family, and also to the church where I am the musician at Morningstar Baptist Church, Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. and his wife, First Lady Jean Tillman, and that church family, the Morningstar Baptist Church. Again, I'd like to give a shout-out to them as well. And I stayed in for a minister at Tawan Eppinger on this past Thursday because he was at the hospital. He was supposed to be bringing forth God's word, but I stayed in the gap for him. So he comes forth over this worldwide platform to live in God's word. Minister Tawan Eppinger, a member of the Morning Star Baptist Church, he brings forth God's word every first Thursday night. And he's a powerful young man of God. And I see I have Pastor Norman King on the line now from Greensboro, North Carolina. He comes forth on this worldwide platform every third and every fourth Saturday night, delivering God's word. He is the pastor of the Victory Outreach Ministries in Greensboro, North Carolina, my first cousin, Pastor Norman King. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, I pray and hope that you have the Bible, your pens and paper ready to follow along. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown. Thank the Lord. Thank the listeners. I'm truly happy today to be able to bring the Lord's word to you. I don't want to delay you with long, lengthy preliminaries, but sometimes you could just spend all day long just thanking the Lord for his goodness. I'm just happy to be at this place at this time. Now, the poem that the Lord gave me is a poem for pastors. It's a poem for parents. It's a poem for everyone that is trying to tell someone about the goodness of God and raising our children and all of these things. Now, the name of this poem, as I say, is catered to pastors, but parents, mothers, and fathers, you can identify with what is about to be read. The name of the poem is I Tried. I served them a meal, but they refused to eat. Then they went out into the world, and they tried to compete. A royal feast was prepared on a silver platter, but they turned up their noses as if it didn't matter. This meal had all the nutrients to help their mind and body stay strong, and all of the ingredients to help them along. They were served a platter of love with just a smidgen of faith. Patience and understanding was all over the plate. A serving of humility to get them through the day, an ounce of forgiveness to eat before they pray. Compassion, mercy, and grace were in full view. A cup of charity, hope, and devotion were on the table too. But some said, I'm still not hungry. I'll just eat later. I reminded them I'm not the cook. I'm just a waiter. In case you didn't know or in case you haven't heard, the meal that was prepared was God's holy word. Like anybody else, I hate to see good food go to waste. I couldn't recommend it to you if at first I didn't taste. I made sure there was a smile on my face and my hands were clean. The most important thing about serving others is proper hygiene. In order to serve, you must live a clean and healthy life. Try to avoid all of the contaminants that can bring toil and strife. I found out the reason some people said that they will eat later. They lose their appetite for God's word, and they blame it on the weather. So please remember, in all you say and do, some people reject God's word, and they blame it on you. Serving, clean up your life before you start serving others, your mother, your father, your sisters and brothers. God's word won't come back, nor will it be denied. When the Lord asks that you feed my sheep, you can reply, Lord, I try. Now, this poem has a special meaning pertaining to tonight's lesson. It's a continuation of the lessons that we've had a couple of weeks ago. And I'm coming to you from the gospel as recorded by St. John, the 21st chapter, the 17th verse. And it reads, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lord, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, last week's lesson, or the last of the time that the Lord gave me the pleasure of coming to you, the topic was, a waiter doesn't know how to do anything but to serve. He don't know how to do nothing but to serve. So tonight's lesson is a continuation of that, and that is, a servant of the Lord is a special person. And we're going to deal with, if you notice in the poem, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating for the word of God to go out through his servants, and they don't get the response that they want. They don't get the response that they want. So I'm here to tell you tonight that a servant of the Lord is a very special person. A servant of the Lord is an individual who puts their life, who puts their occupation, who puts everything on the line to do what? To serve somebody for somebody else. So we have to be extra careful when it comes down to this. And I'm going to give you some examples. When the Lord came for, he said that he was sent not to be ministered to, but to minister. He was sent to minister unto us. So we look at this and we say, we are no more than servants, because he came here to bring about reconciliation back to his Father. So he came and he served the good word, which means he served us up the gospel. And sometimes that waiter, when you go into a restaurant, the waiter sometimes is the first individual that greets you. He's the one that normally has a smile on his face. And he, what does he do? He takes your order. But see, he's not working for himself. As if the Lord, he was not working for himself. He was working for the Father. He, as I said, he came to bring about reconciliation. He came to bring back the love and to reunite us back with the Father. So if we So we come together in the way in which the Lord wants us to come together. If we come together in that type of way, then telling one another, looking at one another, loving one another, reconciling with one another, then we know that it is time for us deep down in our hearts to do what it is that the Lord will have us to do. We know that the first thing you do with this frustration is to be humble. We know that we have to put our feelings to the side. Because if you think about Jonah, he was a servant, and he served up God's word. And because he did not get the desired results that he wanted, he sat and he pouted, and he did all of the things that our human frailties did or that they would do in order for us to protest against the things that we know is not of God. And see, the frustration comes because when an individual's soul, salvation, is at stake, and we see them doing foolhardy things, it grieves our heart. It grieves a pastor's heart when he's constantly telling his congregation the wages of sin is death, and then they're doing every ungodly thing that they could imagine. So serving the Lord is a frustrating thing, not because of but the ways of the people. I'll put it that way. It's not frustrating because the rewards are greater than you can ever imagine. To think that, as I say, a servant of the Most High is a very special person. To think that the Lord has chosen me to bring his word to possibly thousands of people around the world so that I can be an encouragement, that's a wonderful thing. But to see my brother or my sister or my mother or my dad or my cousin or my son or my daughter going astray is frustrating because I know the results of their activities will lead to their own detriment. So my brothers and my sisters, this evening, we must find out. We must look deep within ourselves to know that being a servant of the Lord is frustrating. Being a servant of the Lord can sometimes make us question ourselves as to why. Question God, Lord, why are you putting up with this? But see, if I can allude back to the poem, and see, the poem is not the word, but the Lord gave me the poem, so I'm going to use it. But if we could remind people that, hey, I'm not the cook. I'm just a waiter. So it's my purpose to be that servant, to bring you forth the Lord's word. So if you decide that you want to eat it, that's good. If you decide you want to put it to the side, that's not so good. But there are some people that will look at you and they will say, because the pastor got a new car and I'm struggling, or because the people have went forth in the name of the Lord and donated something to the pastor and his wife, I'm not going back to that church because that pastor, he got a new haircut. That pastor got, but see, God's word say, freely if the people give, freely you receive. So we have to be able to look forward to receiving what it is that the Lord would have us to receive. We got to take our focus off of what other people are doing. We have to be able to enjoy the blessings that the Lord has. We have to be able to, even when our sisters and brothers are being blessed by the Lord. I recently wrote that some people don't think you deserve it, but they think that they are entitled to your blessings. But see, in the process of the Lord bringing forth these things, we are no more than servants. Now, I'm not getting off track here, but mothers, you are servants unto your children. Now, you might say, well, I'm in charge, but every time you turn around when you get that paycheck, you're serving them and giving them their needs. You're giving them the desires of their heart. So I don't care what your position is, you are a servant. You are one who has been put into a subservient role. Husbands, wives, the Lord said in his word, husband, obey your wife. You know, love your wife like the Lord loved the church. So each and every last one of us are put into that servant mentality. brothers and sisters, anytime you tell somebody about the word of God, you're serving them, especially a person, because, see, the frustrations, as I said, the frustrations of serving, sometimes it can overwhelm you because you know that the people have went astray. You know that the people have found some other option other than God's word. So we're going to move right along. As I say, we have to get humble. That means to preach the word, not to become arrogant and say, I'm going to tell that brother or that sister about themselves, because whether you know it or not, the word already did. You can't do that. You can't do God's job. When it comes down to correcting people, that's God's job. The only thing that you can do, it says that if your brother is wrong, to tell him of it. So it's my job, your job, our job, to tell people, to inform them, to admonish them, to give them a heads up, or however you want to phrase it, that they're on the wrong track, that is, need some type of correction in their life. And see, if you look around, there are some people who cannot stand correction. They will look at things, and what they will do, they will turn right around, and they will find a flaw in your life. I know, pastors, I'm going to hit you heavy here, but how many of us, or how many pastors or parents or whatever, have told somebody, hey, you're wrong, and then they turn right around like those pigs, and they will ring you again. They will turn around and say, how could you tell me about what I'm doing when your daughter is out of control? They will use that right there. They will discredit the messenger so that they will not receive the message. But either way it go, the truth is the truth, and we must adhere to the truth. So, as I say, being a waiter is not easy, because you get pressure from those that are serving. You find out that there are those that will find fault in all that you bought for. They would. Sometimes I've been at restaurants and seen people complain about the meal, or what about this one right here? They will bring a fly with them. When they get almost finished, they drop that fly in the meal so that they won't have to pay for the meal. Now, people do some crazy things. Why? Because they don't want to receive that message. They don't want to be served properly. And when you give them that and see, that's why it's very, very, got to be extra careful when it comes down to serving up the word, because the last thing that we want to do is scatter God's sheep. And some of us say, I'm going to tell that brother, I'm going to stand on his nose. But see, we were not meant to publicly embarrass people. Now, after a multiplicity of times that you warned somebody and you brought them before the church, or you got another brother to witness to you that that individual was wrong, you've told them first, they still didn't correct it, you gave them that chance, and then the word says, get another brother, get a brother. So it's two of them now, two people that have noticed this activity from this individual. And then this individual still didn't correct. You go to this individual in humility. And then it say, after several times, what do? You bring them before the church. And then that's when the pastor calls them out, because their behavior has got out of hand and it's causing a distraction to the congregation. And people begin to think in their minds, they say, if I can get away with this, if Brother Johnson can get away with this, if Brother Robinson can get away with this, if Mother Birmingham can get away with this, then why can't I? So it starts a chain reaction in the church that could have been stopped if it would have been nipped in the bud, because we always use that excuse. Officer, why did you stop me when everybody else is speeding? We use other people's activities to sometimes justify why we do wrong. And we know that that is not the proper thing for us to do. If I'm wrong, I don't care. If the speed limit says 70 miles an hour and I'm doing 95, I don't care if everybody else is doing 100. All of us are wrong, but I am the one that was singled out, and I shall know contrition when I was pulled over, when I was reprimanded for that sin or that wrong that I had done. But see, we look at it and we see that police officers, what do we say, what is their motto? To serve and protect. See, we got another servant right here. They're a special person because you got to be a special person when you tell somebody they're wrong and they rebel against that wrong. And the word says, am I your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. So a lot of times when you tell somebody the truth or tell them about their wrongness, they get an attitude at you. You see somebody breaking into your neighbor's home and you say, hey, no, that's my neighbor. You know, work too hard for that. They come back and they shoot up your house. Now, how ridiculous is that? You're telling somebody that they're wrong and then they're going to justify their wrongness by trying to shoot you down, by trying to do something to you, by telling you got a lot of nerve by telling me that I shouldn't be doing this. That's why society right now is looking in a different direction. Society is not looking at how things should be. Now, we know that Philippians, the second chapter, the third verse, it says, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. So I have to be able, regardless of how much it frustrates me. If you look at Jonah, he was frustrated because the Lord didn't respond to him in a manner in which that he thought he would. He thought that the Lord should have punished Nineveh in such a way that to his satisfaction. But see, the Lord is not going to deal with people and your satisfaction. We go back to the word for the day. I think Brother Brown said, it is better to obey it's better to obey God than to serve man. Now see, he just don't know how much power that statement had. Because see, if I'm obedient to God, then I'm not going to run a catering service to man. I'm not going to go along. You know, I'm going to break it down if you don't mind, Brother Brown. I'm not going to go along with my brother's foolishness. I'm not going to serve him up with things. Because Romans, the first chapter, the 32nd verse, tell me that I'm not supposed to find no pleasure in nothing wrong that my brother is doing. I'm not supposed to laugh at his crazy jokes. I'm not supposed to encourage him when he's cheating on his wife. I'm not supposed to encourage him, not supposed to consider him a good man because he got a whole bunch of girlfriends on the side. I'm supposed to tell him of it because they say that your brother is wrong. Tell him of it. I'm supposed to serve him up with the truth. And see, it takes a special person because our so-called friends, if I got an individual that's going to go along with my foolishness, I'm going to question this friendship. Because if you love me, the Lord said, those whom I love, I do what? I chasten, which means that he chastised. He put them in line. He tell them that they're wrong so they won't continue. Because, see, whether I know it or not, if I'm encouraging somebody in their wrongness, then their blood is on my hands. I'm responsible for them because I had that opportunity at that time to say, hey, brother, you're taking this in the wrong direction. Hey, brother, the wages of sin is death, so I'm supposed to serve them up with the truth. And sometimes we, because of opposition, we feel that we should go along with things. We feel that we're supposed to turn the other cheek, even though in Ecclesiastes, it tells us it's a time and a place for everything. It's a time to be still. It's a time to speak up. It's a time to be quiet. And because an individual does not say anything when you're doing wrong, at that time, it was not time to speak. It was not time to, because see, and that's why I want to get one thing straight to the listeners. Now, when that pastor is bringing forth the word, and we know, everybody know, that alcoholic or that lady that's loose with her goods, we know that he didn't call them out. We say to ourselves, that pastor let that person get away with anything. But that, and we get an attitude at them because they didn't call it out. But see, Ecclesiastes let each and every last one of us know then and there was not the time to speak out against that. So we have to be careful because if we leave the church, we leave out of the presence of God's holy man, the holy woman, with an attitude because we felt that they didn't chastise that person. They didn't say nothing to that individual at that time that could have made that situation a little bit better. So we have to be careful when we go to pass in judgment on people because the Lord is definitely going to let the shepherd of the house know when somebody done stepped out of line. But his most important thing is, last week Brother Brown had a young lady on the program, and she wrote the book. And I like what the book said, from conviction. See, God's word will convict you.
Yes,
and then
it'll
turn right around, and it will correct you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we reject it when somebody tells us we're wrong. But in the church that I attend, the word when somebody done stepped on your toes, what we tell the preacher sometimes is, ouch, and amen. So I acknowledge that I did something wrong or that I stepped out of line. And then I'm supposed to move on. I'm supposed to reconcile myself first back to God. And then after I reconcile myself back to God, I'm supposed to go before the people or those that I have offended. If I'm crazy enough to do something publicly against God, I should be humble enough to go back and correct myself in front of the people, because it's not for the people's sake, but it's for my own soul's salvation that I serve the people up, that I realized that I was wrong. I realized that it was one of your prayers that got me back where I should be. So we have to be able, as I said, to serve, and it's hard sometimes to serve because why? We don't have patience. If you don't have patience now, one of the worst things in the world is an impatient pastor, an impatient parent, because our expectations of our people or our children, our congregation, our expectations is so high. We forget that we used to be that little snotty-nosed boy, that little, how they say, that little hard-headed boy that wouldn't listen. But somebody prayed for me. Somebody had patience to wait on me to say that, you know, he's Lord, look out for him in his foolishness. Lord, don't take him away. So we have to pray that we have patience, that we do not drive people away from God, because sometimes, pastor, mother, father, because of our lack of patience, we drive our children away. We make mistakes and we get to the point where we go to the zero tolerance game. I ain't gonna put up with that. What you mean you ain't gonna put up with that? We have to be extra careful. Now, I know it was Joshua said that as far as me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. But see, that's different. He made a commitment. Now, there's certain things that you allow and certain things that you won't allow. But see, I believe it's over there in Galatians. It said that if your brother, I'm going to say add sister, is overcome in a fault, you're supposed to restore them gently. You're supposed to restore them in such a way. When the prodigal son came home after he had went out there and whined and dined and spent his money very crazily, his father came, ran to him. Now, the other brother got jealous because a lot of times when they have Bible study, he knows that it takes his dad 10 minutes to get from the couch to the front door. Now, all of a sudden, he see his dad almost in a full sprint to go get this brother, to go welcome his brother back. See, that fools with people's heads right there because we go to compare and we say to ourselves, if that was me. And why do we always put ourselves in somebody else's position when it comes down to wrongness, when it comes down to God showing mercies? But see, this is all for being a servant, a special person, being able to know, Lord, I tried. I did the best that I knew how to do. Lord, I served them. Lord, I lived right before them. Lord, I practiced your statutes. Lord, I tried my best to live a clean life. But, Lord, I tried. And see, that's all we can do, because any preacher, any mother, any father knows one word that we always say. Sometimes we try to intimidate our kids into doing things, intimidate people by giving them a stiff warning, if you do this again. But it all boils down to, I can't make them. Because, see, serving the Lord is a choice.
Yes,
God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon no one. So when it comes down to his word, he's going to lay it out. He's going, as the poem said, he's going to lay it out there on the silver platter. He's going to put all the things that you need out there in order for you to survive. And his word is going to give you some humility, Pastor. It's going to give you some patience. He's going to give you some love. He's going to give you some mercy. He's going to give us all of these things. And to serve, to freely I give to thee, freely you give to them. So we have to be extra careful when it comes down to, and we got to trust God. We got to trust God that whatever it is that he's serving up, because sometimes we might question the message, Lord, because, see, it ain't the way we would give it, but we got to give it to you the same way that the Lord gives it to us. Because it said you can't change nothing, but see, in the interpretation of that, that's what we play a part in, because your illustration and your demonstration nowadays is the best way to get over to God's people. Because when the Lord spoke in parables, he broke it down in such a way that when he spoke to the fishermen, he talked about nets. He talked about hooks. When he talked to the farmers, he talked about plows. He talked about this. When he talked about to the astrologers, he talked about the stars. Whatever group that he was in, he talked to them in the language in which they understood. Because how can you talk to a scientist and you talk in gibberish? How could you explain to a three-year-old about the celestials and everything? You have to break it down to them, and you might have to use old Barney or SpongeBob as an example. And in these examples that we get, they give them a better understanding. So we have to learn how. We have to learn how to serve. We have to serve in such a way that it brings back the service that God wants us to have. And one thing, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm glad that you brought this to my attention so that I could bring to the people's attention. A servant, a waiter, have to have, and this is what we got to do, we got to have a bad memory, develop a bad memory. The reason I say we got to develop a bad memory, because if I keep on dwelling on those negative things that you did to me, it's going to cause me to withdraw from you. If I remember that you didn't give me no tip the last time, it's going to make me hesitant to serve you. So each and every time I see you, each and every time I greet you, the memory of those negative things, because God said, vengeance is mine, and I shall repay. But see, there's a lot of people holding on to grudges that they've had for years and years and years. So we have to develop that bad memory. Now, the process of developing that bad memory, that means that you have given them a second chance. We have to learn how to forgive, because the word asks, how many times should I forgive my brother? I believe the word says 70 times 7. So that means that you could do something today, and I'll forgive you for it. You could do something tomorrow, and I'll forgive you for it. But if I get to the point that I say, oh, you ain't going to never change, then I'm not giving that individual a chance to see. And I believe those numbers were used to show each and every last one of us that you got to forgive your brother constantly. So you have to develop that bad memory, because, see, how many times have we heard this statement right here? I can forgive you, but I sure ain't going to forget it. Well, I beg to differ, because God said that he would throw these things into the sea of forgetfulness to rise against you no more.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
So think about it. So think about these things. You've got to get that. See, because in the end, all of it has been recorded. But see, if I constantly belted with the things that I did, and see, we got to be careful like that prodigal son's brother did. He didn't welcome him back. He didn't put himself on the welcoming committee. And a lot of times we fold our arms and somebody didn't come back into the house of prayer. And we look at the situation and we say to ourselves, oh, shoot, they'll be back out there. Or we give them the world famous two-finger handshake with the thumb and the index finger. We don't want to touch the rest of them. But the word says that heaven rejoice over one sinner repent, the 99 just that don't need no repentance. So
yes, Lord.
Serving is not easy. Serving and being a good servant is a special person, because the adversity and the frustration and the complaints and all of these things that come with telling somebody, when somebody correct me, all they're doing is say, hey, brother, I love you, and I know you could do better. What's wrong with that? But when the pastor do it, what they say, he's just throwing off on me. He don't like me. He ain't never liked me no way. So remember, my brothers and my sisters, that serving the Lord got to be a special person. And a waiter don't know how to do nothing but serve. Now, I thank the Lord for this lesson tonight. The time went by so fast that, you know, I want to be obedient to the schedule. But Brother Brown, we might have to do number three next week. But remember,
amen. Praise the Lord.
Waiter,
amen.
Don't know how to do nothing but serve. And number two is a servant is a special person. And we dealt with the frustrations of a servant tonight. Now, next week, I don't know what we're going to deal with, but we're going to, you know, why not deal with the rewards of a servant, the benefits of a servant, you know? So, you know, we're going to cover all parts of it. So I now turn you over to Brother Brown. I thank you for the privilege of your time. I hope Pastor Norman King and all the pastors that may be listening take this poem. I tried. The heart, because if you're doing your job, let God do his job, because we're no more than just messengers and waiters. Let the cook do what he do. So I turn it back over to Brother Brown. May God bless you, and may he ever keep you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox. Yes, you can do, we got to put that on schedule for part three, for the next time that you're on, which should be I have another special guest on next Saturday. So
okay.
Next time you come on, Deacon Mother Cox, I'll do be ready to do part three, because that'll be the conclusion of a whole matter to this subject matter on tonight. So we're going to definitely give all the parts, all of the ingredients to this message. So yes, most definitely put them in your schedule for part three. And I hope that the listeners will tune in for the next time when Deacon Mother Cox is on the air. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you that date right now, because I have a special guest on next Saturday. Deacon Margaret Costa will be back on Thursday night, the 25th of this month. Thursday, the 25th of this month. So he can do part three of this message. And I know that God's word, he said his word will not go out void. It's going to accomplish anything that he set out for to do. And he already knows who is going to be listening to this platform on tonight. So we just thank you, Deacon Margaret Costa, for being faithful to God. And as I was telling the listeners, I knew he was on the line. I knew you heard me telling them about your situation, your physical condition, that you could use that as an excuse not to fulfill your God purpose. But you're faithful, and that's what God is calling for in these last evil days. Faithful servant, humble servant, and that's what you are. So thank God for you, and you continue to do what God has ordained for you to do, and that's to teach and preach his word, that souls will be saved through the word, that backsliders will come back to the fold through the word, that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through God's word. So we want the listeners to know that it's not about us, but it's about Jesus Christ. It's about God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, that he gets the glory. So once again, I pray that you have been blessed by the word of tonight, and I know that it has been received. It was a blessing to me. I always get a joy out of hearing God's word. I don't care who's bringing forth God's word. All of God's word is good. So I just love God. I love his word. I love his people. So right now, we're getting ready to close out for tonight. So on this coming Saturday night, you know, I have a special guest on this Thursday night. I have another special guest on this Thursday night, the 11th. And then I have another special guest on Saturday, the 13th. So Pastor Norman King will be on the 27th of this month. Pastor Norman King is on the line now from Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be back on the 27th of this month because I have a special guest on the 18th also. I love how God put his people together. And so that's what I love about this worldwide platform, that I know it's not about me, but it's about God using other people than just me to get his word across to the listeners, that he gets the glory. That's what it's all about, that God gets the glory. So I just thank God for being one of his servants and vessels and ambassadors for the upbuilding of his kingdom here on earth. And that should be all of our heart's desire, is to be pleasing unto the Lord. So I thank you, Deacon Michael Cox, once again. We're going to pray before we go off the air, like we always do. But I do want to remind my listeners, if you did not catch the announcement, I am so grateful to God for blessing my younger sister, Janetta Barney. Her website is now up. For those of you that have been hearing me announce about her children's book, she has two children's books, The Little Guard at the Gate, and then also her other children's book is titled The Best of Joy. And you can go to Amazon.com and order those books. But now she has a website, Josh the Guard. That website is, again, it's www, all lowercase, Josh, J-O-S-H, theguard.com. And he has a little pillow with his picture on it, a variety of T-shirts, the Josh the Guard puzzle, the Josh the Guard coloring book, and their actual book and other items that you can purchase separately or by the kit. And then you can hear his little Josh the Guard song on the website. So you want to be a blessing to your children, your grandchildren. And we have teachers on the line. This would be a good item for your children in your classes and for parents and grandparents. So I'm just promoting what God has done through my younger sister. I'm so proud and excited for her, for what God is doing. She could be a blessing to the children. So once again, that website is www.joshtheguard.com. Please pray with me as we get ready to go off the air for tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because we know that you're truly worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us first and in spite of ourselves. Continue to have mercy upon us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your angels that watches over us throughout the day and through the night. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that resides in every believer. Continue to bless your people, Heavenly Father, that we can be a blessing to the body of Christ, that we can be a blessing to those that are spiritually blind, that they will see Jesus Christ in us, and they will ask what they do to be saved, that you alone will be glorified as our prayer in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and ask that you continue to have your way in each one of our lives, that you will be glorified through us. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
thought I